is a dog.
I forgot it's Mother's Day.
Didn't get a gift for her.
Other plans got in the way. She'll be so disappointed.
Damn, I forgot it too.
This could have been avoided.
What the hell are we gonna do?
Welcome to Family Sounds, presented by the Night Nerd. This is the monthly show where we all get together and talk about really kind of whatever we want to. I'm one of your hosts, Lance.
I'm the other host, Colby.
Because Derek has the month off. That must be not, I didn't know we could take vacations, but he's taking a vacation.
I at this point, I kind of think poetically it'd be nice if he didn't come back until Avengers 4 to stick with the theme we started after the end of Avengers 3, but that would also suck for the content for the next year, so I'm torn.
Yeah, half of you weren't there. Well, today's show I'm really excited about. If you listened last year, we did a whole summer series about required reading, like the best of DC, the best of Marvel, the best graphic novels, like what you need to do, the best single issues, and it was a whole summer-long thing. And today we're kicking off this year's summer series, and it's going to be all about family, because it was an easy topic. But yeah, earlier this month was Mother's Day, so we're going to talk mothers today, aren't we, Colby?
That's right. There's some great mothers in comics, but they're harder to find than some of the other family members.
Well, we were talking a little bit off mic, and moms are real good to, like, you have Thanos' mom who tried to kill him, like, 5 minutes into his life, or you have, you know, all these other moms that either go crazy, or they die, or they just, I don't know, just kind of stay in there and don't do anything.
Or you have, like, the Flash-Batman conundrum of they were really good moms when they were alive for the first 8 years of their kid's life.
Yeah. All moms are named Martha in comics, in case y'all didn't know that.
For a little bit, I was hoping we would both pick, one pick Martha Wayne and one pick Martha Kent.
Oh, my gosh. Why did we not do that?
I don't know. Again, because Martha Wayne's really not, she's not around that much in Batman's life. And some what-if stories of her being, like, an evil, either evil Joker or an evil mother, so I can't even pull from those. Where Ma Kent's actually got some, she easily could be on this list.
Yeah. So our buddy is over at the DC Cinematic Minute. They, it's just random, this is a plug for them because we love them. They just came out with a couple of shirts. One of them is like their logo and everything, but the other one is actually, it's Kent's Farm Certified Fresh Produce Martha's Nighttime Apples, Smallville, Kansas. And it's pretty sweet. They have the shirt over there for like $20 on TeePublic. Just best way, yeah. I don't know why I'm plugging other shows. They're good guys. They're on our show all the time and we're on their shows, so check out DC Minute. But anyway, we're enough Martha's. There are other moms out there. And that's what we're going to talk about. We decided to pick our favorite mom, our favorite story with said mom, and cast them in a movie, like what actress we would like to see play them. So it's a lot of stuff. We're really excited. Colby, you want to go ahead and lead us off with your pick for favorite mom?
Yeah, my favorite mom. There were a few I almost went with. Rita from Doom Patrol and her adopted kid Beast Boy. But I also, it's one of those weird things where she really hasn't been involved in a lot of my favorite Doom Patrol runs because most of my favorite Doom Patrol writers didn't focus on her a ton. And as much as I love her and I'm loving Beast Boy here lately in the comics, I couldn't pick that. I almost went with some like Bulma from Dragon Ball, but I wanted to keep to comics, American comics, and stuff that we talk a lot about. So I went with Ellen Baker, the wife of Animal Man and the mother to his children, her children, mostly because not only is she a very grounded person that grounds a really crazy, weird husband, but also she's a really good mother that fights for her kids throughout her every run she's been a part of.
Oh, yeah. That's a good call. Animal Man, you know, is one of the few stories that really shows family, not just, hey, we all have a bunch of superpowers. It's like, no, he has a superpower, but we're just normal people. Well, depending which one you go with. And and they're a family. And yeah, I think part of that is because of her. You know, she really holds them all together.
Yeah, I mean, she's a very strong base for a group of crazy, crazy family members. She's able to handle these really weird concepts like the rot, the green, like, you know, her husband being loosely affiliated with some of the biggest superheroes in the universe, her kids inheriting some of those powers, again, depending on which story, and some other just insane stuff that most normal women would not be able to handle. Most normal mothers couldn't handle. But she is able to pull through. They're able to try to give her kids a decent, normal life, or as normal as can be allowed, and also being a great wife and, you know, supporting her husband and having support from him, because they are actually another loving couple, too. Like, they're one of the few, like you said, they are an actual family of people that love each other. They may fight, but they come back together, and they want to all help each other move forward, which in comics especially is hard to find a good family, especially one that is actually related by blood and not, like, brought together by circumstance.
Yeah, well, and normally in comics, you know, you get that family dynamic for the first story arc, and then they kill her in the second one.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few great mothers that I almost went with, but I feel like she has consistently been written as a really, really good mother throughout everything she's been a part of. So I really had to go with her, because if talking about great mothers and greatest mothers, she is definitely up there with them.
Nice. Well, in true Lance and Colby fashion, you know, which is weird because we're fans of both sides, but it seems like you do a lot of DC and I do a lot of Marvel. Mine's from the Marvel side of things. And I had to go with the mom of the first family of comics, and that's Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman.
Another great choice. Like, she was definitely on my short list.
Yeah. Even, you know, in the first, like, 50 issues, a lot of times she was the hostage and damsel in distress, but even then, like, the first time they fought Doom, while she was a hostage, she managed to get loose and take down Doom. And she's taken down the Incredible Hulk, but she's also kept their family together. And something that you don't see a whole lot, like, you saw her have both of her children. Like, she didn't start off with a family. She was just Reed's girlfriend, and then fiance, and then wife, and then they had the first kid, and then they had Franklin, and then Val, and so you actually got to see her become a mom, and even though, you know, and then kind of be a surrogate mom to Johnny and Ben at the same time, you know, keep them in control, and you talk about somebody who wears a lot of hats, Sue Storm, you know, when it comes to being a mom, she's done all of it, I feel like.
No, she really hasn't. Again, that's one of the first instances in comics of having a strong woman who evolved with the times, who moved with the times, who was, again, supportive of her husband, but not dependent on her husband, and was able to be independent and be a very well, you know, very well fleshed out character in her own right, and also just added more and more to her family, and her family added more to her. It's like a great example of another great family in comics, and the first family in comics,
yeah,
in a long time. So that was an incredible choice.
Yeah, well, thank you. And, you know, you see them, like, if they have problems, she's like, okay, we're going to stop being superheroes for a little bit, and we're going to focus on being a family. And that's, sometimes it's because another company owns the rights to the movie characters, so they have to go away, but even before that, you know, there's been times where she's like, okay, no, we're going to go be a family first and be hero second. And that's, I think that's really cool of her.
No, I entirely agree. And also someone who, again, is dealing with children that have crazy powers, and with herself having crazy powers, and a work family that has crazy powers. So she's got a level of crazy insanity to deal with on a daily basis that no other person knows of.
Yeah. Well, talking about, you know, we've both hit on a little bit about some of the great stories that these characters are involved in, but if you had to pick just, like, one good story, one good Baker family story, what is your favorite story with her?
Now, see, as much as I love Grant Morrison's run, because Grant Morrison's Animal Man is one of my favorite in all comics, it's incredible, but that one is not entirely, but it's focused more on Buddy and how he interacts with the world and how his family interacts with him. But when Jeff Lemire revived the character with the New 52, a lot of the early stories when they were on the run from the Rot and the Red and the Green and all that stuff, when they were kind of in hiding going from hotel to hotel room, and these are, I think, the first like three volumes of Jeff Lemire's Alan run, to me that's where she as a character really shone. She got a ton of shine on her, where they were going on the run, they were hiding, but she was, again, trying to protect her family, where when these crazy, creepy monsters would attack, she would put herself in harm's way to try to protect her kids. She was trying to make sure they were still educated, trying to teach them, trying to make sure they were healthy while being on the run from these metaphysical threats. And it was an awesome example of a family in comics that were, again, even being pushed against everything, she was able to hold her family together and be very, very independent as a character, but adding to her family as a whole. I think that's where she probably shines the most of those early, all of Jeff Lemire's Animal Man run, but especially everything before Rot World, where she was a major focus in a lot of it.
Nice. Yeah, there were, I mean, because like when Morrison had her, you know, he killed her off, didn't he? Didn't that happen?
Yeah.
And then Buddy had to actually confront Morrison, and she was just kind of a player in those stories. But yeah, in the Lemire stuff, like you said, she is actually part of the story and contributes and does stuff, and you see her do those things, and that was really cool. Man, I want to go read some Animal Man now.
Yeah, that's so good, man. Animal Man, Doom Patrol, anytime I talk about them, I want to start reading them.
Yeah. For my choice, man, and this was hard, because there's been a lot of, like, really good Sue Storm story. I mean, she's been around for 60 years or whatever, 50, 60 years, and I mentioned a few of them earlier, and it just wouldn't be Family Sounds without honorable mentions, but I almost went with the John Byrne Fantastic Four, where she comes out and takes down Psycho Man, and she's like, no, now I'm Invisible Woman. It's pretty cool, but she's got this god-awful mullet that just takes me out of the story a little too much. So my pick is actually a more recent, and it's from Dwayne McDuffie. It's Fantastic Four number 549. So McDuffie was on Fantastic Four, I think this was like 2009-ish, and right before, you know, kind of after Wade and stuff, and right before Hickman. But the whole thing, they were fighting all these other people, and meanwhile the Frightful Four were kind of lurking in the background, moving stuff around. And it comes to a point where everybody, and this is when Storm and Black Panther join the team also, and it comes to a point where everybody's down. Human Torch, The Thing, Mr. Fantastic, Black Panther, and Storm are all down, and it's just Susan against the Frightful Four. And in a throwback to the original, like the old stories, they're like, hey, grab her, you know, she's a hostage, and she straight up says, I'm not a hostage, and proceeds to wipe the floor with the Frightful Four. And she has this really cool moment with the Thinker, Mad Thinker, Thinker, whatever his name is, and where she has him pinned up against the wall, his hands are bound by invisible cuffs, she makes his chest transparent, and like watches his heartbeat, and she's like, oh, you're going fast. It's like, you know, my powers, I can put a force field in there to block your arteries and cause you to have a heart attack. And the whole time he is just freaking out. It's beautiful art and everything, and to the point, you know, she keeps going about how Reed is the merciful one and he doesn't understand what revenge is about, and then he just passes out. And Storm is like, oh my gosh, did you kill him? She's like, no, he just fainted. And everybody else, even The Thing, is like, yeah, that's the most hardcore thing I've ever seen. And, you know, that's with Sue, one thing has always been like her powers, how they developed from oh, she can turn invisible, to no, she's actually like one of the most powerful, not only of the Fantastic Four, but like in the Marvel Universe when she's used right. And it was just seeing her be a badass like that was really, really cool and really rewarding.
Yeah, I'm not as read on Fantastic Four as you or Derek, but everything I have read from the character's made, and that's those stories, like that story in particular, I think is a great example of her, again, just being a super powerful badass that doesn't get the credit she deserves a lot of times, because she is, in power leveling and in just sheer intensity and character, one of the strongest in Marvel when written by the right people.
Yeah, I mean, there was an annual, I think it was an annual, where she killed a Celestial. Like, she took down a Celestial, and that's not an easy task.
Yeah, no, there's a couple of characters like that are just, like, super powerful that people forget about all the time. Like, honestly, her and Mira and Aquaman are the two I always think of, where I'm like, they are so much more powerful than people ever think about, but there are a couple examples where they are just OP as hell.
Yeah, yeah. And then the next writer comes along and like, oh, I'm just going to ignore all of that and make them a hostage. Yeah. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, so when you have, you know, not only is she a mom, but she's just an all-around, like we said, badass. And there's some other great stories where she is defending her family or her children or things like that. And it's intense. Like, she can get real. You always hear women talk about, like, Mama Bear come out. I mean, yeah, Sue Storm definitely has a Mama Bear mentality. And but it's for, you know, not just her kids, but like we said, Reed and Johnny and Ben, and even beyond that, like Crystal and Alicia and Storm and T'Challa, all these people. And yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with her. I'd rather fight the Thing. Out of the Fantastic Four, she's the last one I'd want to cross paths with.
No, yeah, because she, well, again, like I said, she's got some crazy powers, and plus, you just can't, even on her basic level, you can't see her, so it's hard to fight what you can't see.
Yeah, that's true. So your character has yet to be on the big screen.
That's right.
Mine, we'll get to that in a minute. But
yeah.
So if, well, I'm gonna pull one on you here real quick. Would it be an Animal Man movie, or would it be like a The Green movie if you were to put her in a movie?
I don't know, because we know there's a Swamp Thing project coming to the DC live streaming network, so there's a likelihood that she could be involved in that in some way if they do confront Animal Man. I would personally love to see an Animal Man live-action show of some kind, but I don't know if that'll happen. But if she was, in either way, if she was part of the main cast in a live-action show or movie featuring Animal Man, or she was just kind of there as a secondary cast member for another show that confronted Animal Man, either way, I really was thinking hard about who would play her and who could do it. And who I settled on is someone who has appeared in the MCU, but she's covered under tons and tons of prosthetics and makeup, so I think it'll be fair. I pick Kieran Gillen.
I am A-okay. I mean, I have a huge crush on her, so the more movies and projects she's in, the more I'm okay with that.
And in this one, you'd actually get to see her, so
yeah,
that would help. I think she's someone who we've seen with Nebula and with a few other things can pull off like a tough, strong character. But she's also, from her Doctor Who days, she can be a very lovable, likable character, and someone who comes off like a very passionate person who could, you know, care deeply for those she loves. And I think she could pull that off. And she does have at least a passing resemblance to her in the comics, so I would be okay with her, and I think she'd be a perfect fit for that role.
That would be, like you said, I mean, anything with her, but it makes sense, you know? Because even when she was Amy Pond on Doctor Who, a lot of times you saw her, yeah, she was around the Doctor, and when Rory was that weird, like, Centurion soldier guy.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, like, she's around all these superpowered people, and she's like, hey, get your acts together. We're going to do this. This is how it's going down. And I think that would parallel real, real solid into an Animal Man scenario. I keep leaving out the L on animal and just say Animan, but Animal Man.
Well, I just did that with Karen Gill, and I keep on, because of the writer, Kieran Gill, anytime I talk with those two, I like switch their names up.
Mm-hmm. Both uber talented, though, so, you know.
Yeah. It's... They are both extremely talented. Again, I would love to see her in that role, and we may see someone taking up, I don't know, DC's live streaming stuff, or live streaming, their streaming network that they're doing is... I had a ton of projects announced, so who knows who will pop up there.
Yeah. Well, and I think Animal Man, because they're doing... We're going to go on a tangent for a minute. You know, they're doing Doom Patrol and Titans and these properties that people recognize and have, especially Doom Patrol, you know, cult followings.
Yeah.
And I feel like Animal Man is, like, the next logical step in that. Or one of the next logical steps in that.
No, I agree entirely. I mean, you have Doom Patrol, you have Titans, you have, I guess we don't know if it's live action or animated, but you have a Swamp Thing show of some kind. Like, if you're pulling those kind of characters into your streaming services like that, the world for there, and if they are interconnected or whatnot, it seems like Animal Man would have to be involved somewhere, because he does seem like the missing piece amongst those groups of people. Like, that is typically, when you talk about those characters and those stories, Animal Man is right alongside Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing. And if you talk about Teen Titans, like going from Beast Boy to Titans and Teen Titans, like, they interact with a lot of weirder characters, much like Animal Man and all the huge gallery of villains and heroes that Animal Man, Swamp Thing share and interact with, that for all those shows could be an overarching theme of the Rot, the Green, and all of that.
Yeah. As long as they bring him in before they bring in Wanna Beast, I'm okay with it.
God, yeah, honestly, nowadays, with how the movies and shows go, I'm never shocked anymore when they announce, like, this super obscure character is going to come in way before anybody else.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, so you had the joy of having a clean palate. I did not.
A very, very dirty palette, in fact.
Yeah, and there's been three people that have played Sue Storm. There was Rebecca Staub in the old one that Derek loves that was never actually released. There was Jessica Alba, who, as much as I love Jessica Alba, she was the weakest, like, the worst cast one in that. I know she was arguably the biggest name in the movie, but, yeah.
They also did, like, a lot of the weird, like, I how to put it, like, tried to make her look way more white than she is.
Yeah, like, literal whitewashing.
Like, yeah, like, exactly. I mean, like, putting makeup on her skin to appear lighter and blonde, like, super blonde hair and weird highlights and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then in Fanforstic, you had my future ex-wife, Kate Mara, who is beautiful, and I love her, and oh my gosh, but that, I mean...
So many weird wig choices.
Yeah, again, trying, like, okay, follow me on this, people that are listening, because it may start to sound like I'm being an asshole, but I'm not. It's like, they were totally okay with making Johnny African-American, which I'm totally on board for, but Sue Storm had to be blonde. You know, it's like, if you're going to do all this other stuff, just let Kate have her natural hair color. Like, it's just... Yeah, because like you said, the wigs and stuff were not the best.
That's weird, too, because that cast, the main four in that movie, are like we're seeing now in other superhero films, extremely successful and can play comic characters better than like half of the other actors out there.
Yeah, I mean, they were all I was a little hesitant about the dude that played the Thing, but I was like, okay, after seeing him, I was like, okay, it's a crappy movie, but you're actually turning in a pretty solid performance. Like, they all turned in solid performances. It's just between the director and the editors and the studio, like, it just didn't happen. So I have to, you know, I was like, okay, who am I gonna put in this role? And right now there's a lot of rumors going around that Amanda Seyfried from Mean Girls and Jennifer's Body and a whole lot of stuff is in talks to be Sue Storm. I know all the fans, especially after Quiet Place, they want Emily Blunt and John Krasinski to be Invisible Woman and Mr. Fantastic. But my pick, because, you know, you got to get somebody who's, you know, kind of a name, but not too big of a name. I went with Alice Eve. She was the girl on She's Out of My League. She was Dr. Carol Marcus in Star Trek Into Darkness. She was in Before We Go. She's been in a few things, enough where you're like, oh, hey, I know who that is. But not enough where you're like, oh, she's going to cost us $10 million to get. I imagine a lot of you listening are Googling her right now. But I'll give you a second to Google her, because she is, I mean, she's beautiful. She's proven that she can be not only intelligent in Star Trek Into Darkness, but she can be manipulative. And people don't realize, like, Sue Storm, she plays people a lot, especially like Namor and Doctor Doom. And we've seen her do that in, like I said, She's Out of My League and things. And she was in a couple episodes, or she's going to be in Iron Fist. Oh, really? I just saw this. Like, I'm looking at her IMDb right now. She's going to be in season 2 of Iron Fist for a couple episodes. I'm okay with that. I think she would make, again, she's strong and attractive and smart and smooth and everything. I really think she would be really good. My runner-up was going to be Missy Peregrin, who, oh, again, in love. I'm in love with a lot of people, I realized. Like, there are a lot of people I'm in love with. But Missy Peregrin is dark-headed, and I don't want to have a Kate Mara incident again. So we'll just stick with Alice Eve as my choice for the inevitable reboot of a live-action Fantastic Four movie.
I like it. Much better than my choice of Amy Poehler.
Oh, why would you do that?
It'd be a hilarious movie.
I mean, yeah, well, that was like when they were gonna... Jack Black was making a Green Lantern movie.
That's right.
Which, in retrospect, may have been a better Green Lantern movie.
I know.
It's... We'll never know. But if we didn't have that bad Green Lantern movie, we wouldn't have all those great Deadpool 2 jokes, or Deadpool 1 jokes about it.
All the things that had to go wrong to make Deadpool so right is kind of astonishing.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. But yeah, so happy belated Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, if everybody has a mother, but if you talk to your mother, tell her thank you, just randomly. It's not Mother's Day, it'd freak her out, because it'd be a lot of fun, because I like to do things like that, to jack with people. That's what
That's
we
right.
do. But we have some other shows around here on the Night Nerd Network. Normally, on Sunday nights, you can catch Colby and Derek, I'd say with question mark.
Yeah,
when he gets
he's
back
part
from
of
sabbatical.
This podcast.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your show, Colby.
Well, here right now, it's in a very random position, because we mentioned earlier, Derek is on sabbatical. He's doing some important big things that have to be done. We understand. So in the meantime, the show has been extremely odd and weird, with some solo shows, a show about Kamehameha-Con and anime. But typically, we talk about comics movies, and kind of pop culture surrounding the comic sphere. Here lately, it's anything goes, but typically it's a pop culture comics podcast. But it's awesome, and we ramble for hours and hours about everything. If you want to hear a million Suicide Squad and BBS fights, go listen to the past 4 years of content.
That's a true story. I can back that up. It's the ongoing.
We are not allowed. We have unspoken rule that I'm going to speak now. Not allowed to talk about Suicide Squad or BBS anymore for at least until a sequel to Suicide Squad trailer comes out.
Or so. If there's a tie-in in Aquaman, I feel like that's allowed.
Yeah,
I know. It's probably going to happen here. We have all the talks of them starting to shoot around October for either the Suicide Squad or Harley and Joker film. So it's pretty. The ban on it will end probably pretty soon because we have Comic-Con coming up. But until then, this is the first time I've mentioned it in like a month or two on purpose. So none of that for a while.
Nice. There's also other shows. I have a daily show called The Night Nerd here on The Night Nerd Network, where I pick a topic and break stuff down. It's a lot of fun. Tuesday, Thursdays, we have DC Animated Adventures, which is a live commentary show. Like, you watch old episodes of Batman the Animated Series, and there's live commentary for them, where you get little insights and just get to hear us talk about it, and we have a lot of fun with it. I can't promise you'll learn anything, but it's a lot of fun, definitely. And then, if you like all those shows, please feel free to check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/thenightnerd. A couple bucks a month gets you exclusive shows, behind-the-scenes content, everything like that. We're real big fans. And you can find us in a lot of places, but really the best place is to just look for The Night Nerd. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, you can do that. You can find Colby is HellhoundF5 at Twitter, and your YouTube is Doom Club, right?
Yes, but that's like 95% young animal related stuff.
So, hey, well, Animal Man, Young Animal, you're just a big animal lover, I guess. Is
right.
That I tried to segue to that. I tried to make that work. And yeah, I'm just The Night Nerd everywhere, so check us out. You can email me, nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. We read those, and it's all good, all fun. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this month. Colby, do you have anything for all the mothers out there, the mothers listening?
You guys are awesome, except for the ones that aren't awesome.
And those are the ones that are not listening.
That's right. Everyone listening, you're awesome.
Yes, but that's going to do it for us today. Thank you all so much for listening. I'm Lance. On behalf of Colby, you're awesome, like we said. And tune in next month when we talk all about dads.
Why not go on picking? Mother, tell you.